You know, for 3 weeks now, I have been preaching on a sermon called The Potter and the Clay. And I've had a lot of fun doing it, and I think today is going to be the best day yet. For the ones of you that were not here, you really need to go back and get both sermons to get a hold of everything that I've said up until now. The reason that I am doing this is because God has been misrepresented by the church. He really has. He's a good God. And a lot of things that have been taught have been incorrect, based on humans, based on scriptures we've taken out of context. And so I'm trying to bring back a little bit of why are there certain scriptures in the Bible that make it look like God is the bad guy? And there really are in there. They're in there. But you can't lift them out of their setting and then make a statement. You know, Judas hung himself, go do likewise, are both two scriptures in your Bible. Don't take those two scriptures out, put them together, and call that Bible doctrine. That's not right. Amen. And so we've done this, and so we have a group of people in the earth today that are not walking real close to God because I think they're afraid of him. We see people who know that they're not living right, but yet they, like Adam and Eve, they're still hiding from God, and they don't realize that redemption has been paid and you can come home. He's a good God and he loves us. He cares a lot about us. So one of these is the Romans chapter 9 has a lot of stuff in it that looks or appears controversial. In other words, Paul is making some statements in here, and if you just pull them out, then naturally you could get the wrong idea. But when you read a statement, let's go back and find out what did Paul mean when he said what he said. Let's find out what his point was, and you'll find out that it was very good. So up until now, we've talked about the fact that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that up until now, we've always wondered, what is God like? What's he really like? We see him in Jesus. So whatever you see Jesus doing, that's what God does. That's the way he acts. And a lot of our doctrines today, Jesus didn't do them. Jesus didn't make people sick. Jesus didn't cause hurricanes. He didn't kill children. He didn't have someone get run over so they could get saved. And I have to apologize. I've been told that I have to apologize. I found 3 good Christian movies. So they're not all bad. So I have to stand here and tell you that the group out of Georgia that did Flywheel and Fireproof and War Room, those were good movies, so I stand corrected. Now, I'm saying that because if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I want you to do the same thing. If you're wrong, if you're married and you're wrong, admit it. Just look and say, I was wrong. It's hell won't freeze over if you do that, all right? So in Romans chapter 9, I want to start with verse 1 because I feel like if I don't, then the one statement that I'm going to show you won't make sense if I don't show you why he said what he said. So I'm going to start with Romans 1, and we should have done this to begin with, and I've waited until now to do this. Romans 9:1, I tell you the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience is bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have a great sorrow and a continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh. Now he said this because we're going to learn today that as a whole, the Jewish nation rejected Jesus. Now it's very important that you get this point. Paul is writing a letter to Romans. These are not Jews. He's talking to them about how Jesus came and how the way has been made for them to get in on a covenant, they did not have a legal right to it. That's powerful what he's writing. He's writing to Romans and going, I'm going to show you what happened. He's not bashing the Jews. He said, I wish to God, I would be a, whatever it would take for them to get it, but they didn't. Very, very important. Verse 4, who are Israelites to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. So God did this through the Jews. Of whom are the fathers, and whom according to the flesh Christ came, who is over all and eternally blessed God. Amen. Verse 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are Israel, nor are they children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac, underline that, your seed will be called. Look at verse 8. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, those are not the children of God. Now he said this. Now listen to what he's saying. Just because you're Jewish doesn't mean you're the seed of Abraham and you're a child of God. Amen. Now, for Paul to say that, a former Pharisee, a revelation of who Jesus is and how he came out of Judaism. He came out of the law. He was strict in it, and he met the Lord Jesus, and that was the day it dawned on him that salvation is by grace. So for him to say this, every time Paul went back to Jerusalem, they tried to kill him. For what? That statement. He said, you're not children of God because you're Jewish. Wow. All right, now he's going to go deeper here. He's going to make a few more fantastic statements. Verse 9, for this is the record of promise. At this time, I'm going to come and Sarah will have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one man, even our father Isaac. For the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. And it was said to her, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Now, you can understand by reading that statement, Jacob I loved, Esau I've hated. If you pull that out of context, it looks like God goes, Esau, I just don't like him. He didn't do anything right or wrong, but I don't give a rip. I just hate the guy. Jacob, I like him. We'll just, that. But listen, if you just pull that statement out, that's what it sounds like he said. But now why don't we go back into the book of Genesis and find out what it was about Esau that God didn't like. Remember last week we talked about the fact that if Louis pulls you over, we say Louis gave you a ticket. We know Louis didn't give you a ticket. You earned that ticket if Louis gave it to you. And we also learned that if the teacher gave you an F, you probably earned your F. So there has to be something going on here that God is trying to make a point. There's something Paul is striving, or this wouldn't be in your Bible. God didn't just waste words by sticking stuff in your Bible to confuse you. So what is it about Esau that God went, I don't like this guy? So let's turn over. Hold your place here because you're going to come back. Go to the book of Genesis now, chapter 25, verse 19. Now hold on to your seats because I'm going to rock this place. I mean, I'm going to rock your world right now. I want you to get your world rocked. Genesis 25. We're going to get all the bad devils out. Let's start with verse 19. This is the genealogy of Isaac. Now remember he said, remember he just got through saying, he skipped right over the top of Abraham and he said, Isaac is the father. Now I never read that in my whole life. I never even knew that till last week when I was studying this. And the Lord said to me, he says, come in your room right now. I'm going to explain this to you. I didn't even know this until 7 days ago. I'm thinking, whoa, this is incredible. All right, I've actually avoided this scripture because I didn't like it. Don't tell me y'all never did that. There's things I just go, I don't want to read that. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, his wife, and the daughter of somebody, the Syrian of... Does that not sound like a Chronicles of Narnia, a pay damn harash and all that? I'm thinking he got that right out of the Chronicles of Narnia, didn't he? All right. The sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now, Isaac pled with the Lord, his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived, got pregnant, and the children struggled together within her. There's a fight going on between two nations and a pregnant woman. Something big is already starting to happen and she hadn't even had the kids yet. The children struggled together within her. She says, if thou is well, why am I like this? So she inquired of the Lord, and the Lord says, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. One people will be stronger than the other, and the other will serve the younger. Now, he's making a statement here because according to the Jews, now listen to me very carefully. Everything that God did, he did it and he gave law. The older legally had a right to be the ruler. Now let's stop and think about Esau for a minute. Abraham was a big dog. He still is a big dog. There's nobody ever walked the earth bigger than Abraham except Jesus Christ. In history upon all history, when we get to heaven, there's going to be some big dogs running around in heaven. One of them is Jesus Christ. We can't wait to meet him. He's the biggest dog there is on the porch. Amen. But the second biggest dog on the porch is Abraham. And right after that is Isaac. And the next one in the whole genealogy of the whole earth should be Esau. I'm going to read to you why God went, I don't like this guy. Y'all are quiet. This is good. Jacob cooked a stew. No, I can't say that. I can't do that. Verse 24, when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. He was hairy, had a hairy garment all over, and they called him Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them, and the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau, and he ate his game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field. He was weary. Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright. Oh, stop. Jacob has no legal right to it. Can I get ahead of the whole game and give you the plan? You and I are Gentiles. We came into the earth with no legal right to the covenant you're in. I'm going to say it again. Jacob is a type of a nation of people that would come along someday that had no legal standing in the covenants of God. But yet God honored his faith. Are y'all getting it? In other words, Jacob's you. You are Jacob in this story. The Gentile world got in the covenant of God because the Jews rejected it. I'm going to show you that. Are y'all ready for this? Now hold your hat down. Sell me your birthright. Esau said, look, I'm about to die. What's a birthright to me? That's a big deal. That meant he would have been 1, 2, 3, 4th biggest dog that ever walked the earth. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. So he swore. Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank and arose and went his way, and he despised his birthright. I'm going to read to you what despised is. Without honor. Brought to nothing, treat with contempt, no account. Birthright, I don't give a rip. Give me a bowl of soup. I don't give a rip about the things of God. Woo! Jump back, Jack. Paul is writing to the Romans, Gentiles. And he's explaining to them about the mercies of God, even though legally Esau had a legal right firstborn, he despised it, but yet his brother went, I want that. God honored the guy with no legal right because he hungered and thirsted for something that wasn't his. He's talking about you. Whoa. Go to 1 John 1:11. He came to his own. His own did not receive him. All right, now I'm going to show you something from the Bible right now that I never saw before. You know what the Jews should have done when Jesus showed up? They should have had the biggest worship service they've had in thousands of years. And they didn't. He preached in his own church, and they wanted to kill him. Do you think they're really interested in God? Excuse me, I won't spit on you again. The Jews despised their birthright. Jesus came and healed a guy on the Sabbath, and they got mad because it was the Sabbath. Forget the fact that a woman got healed. He walked on water. We don't care. He raised the dead. We don't care. You think this made Jesus happy? Oh, it did not make Jesus happy. Oh, y'all okay? Hold on to your hats. It's getting ready to get better. Malachi 1:1. I'm going to go over here and read that out of my Bible. I can't, I'm not good at reading it off the screen, so please forgive me. The burden of the word of the Lord came to Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have we loved you? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage and the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, and he will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build it, but I'm going to throw it down. God's not real impressed with this guy. In other words, he just said, to heck with it. I might be Jewish, but I'll do what I want to do. So did God have good reason to go? See, he didn't hate him, but he thought less of him. He went, nah, I don't honor that. God is going to honor. What you honor honors you. What you despise despises you. What do you think of the gospel? Or, yeah. Where are you? This is a big deal, guys. Isaiah 53:1. Let's look it up here. Let's look at it. Who believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He, Jesus, will grow up as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness that we see him. He had no beauty that we would desire him. But he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows. He came to his own. They didn't receive him. What did he do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. He's perfect. Go to Acts 10. Now I'm going to slow down here a minute. Because I got to explain something to you. Do you remember the Syrophoenician woman? Who is she? The woman who had a daughter that was demon possessed, and yet she was not Jewish. She came to Jesus and she said, "My daughter is sorely vexed of a devil." And Jesus paid her no attention. So she went after the disciples and she pestered him and she pestered him and she pestered him. And Jesus turned, the disciples turned to Jesus and said, make her leave us alone. Now listen to the statement Jesus says to this woman. He finally talks to her and says, you know, get out of here, leave us alone. She says, I want you to heal my daughter. He says, why would I throw the blessings of Abraham to a dog? He called her a dog because that's what a Gentile was. You were a dog to the Jewish nation. So he called her a dog. She said, yea, Lord, I'm a dog. The dogs eat the crumbs from under the table. And Jesus looked at her and said, go. Your daughter's whole. Amen. The Jews are rejecting this, but the Gentiles are chasing it. Yeah. You remember the centurion? Yeah. Remember Jesus, the centurion came to Jesus? Jesus says, well, I'll come to your house and heal him. He said, don't bother. I'm not worthy. And he turned and he said to the Jews, I hadn't found faith like this anywhere in Israel. Both of them Gentiles. Acts 10:34. All right, well, let's don't start there. Let's go to Acts 10:9. The next day when they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He was hungry and he wanted to get something to eat. And while they were making ready, he fell into a trance and he saw heaven open, an object of a great sheet with four corners descending down out of heaven. And on the all kinds of four-footed animals, there was pork and there was pigs and there was armadillos. There were some snakes and frogs and birds of the air. There was even a buzzard in it. And the voice says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, I don't think so. No, Lord. He said, I never eat anything like that in my whole life. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And then the voice said to him again, what God cleansed, don't you call it common. Amen. He's fixing to send Peter where? To the Gentiles. It was illegal. We had no legal right to where you are today. You had none. Come on, I'm doing good. I'm just, yeah. You know, a week ago, I didn't know any of this. Poor Lisa. She's trying to watch TV, and I'm running in the living room going, I just found something in the Bible. Okay. And she's gracious. She just listens to me because she knows that movie's coming back around again. Isn't it? Verse 17, while Peter was wondering within himself what this vision might meant. Verse 18, they called and asked and said, Simon, whose surname was Peter, lodging there. And Peter thought about the vision, and the Spirit said, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise and go down. Doubt nothing. I sent them. All right, now let's look at Cornelius now. Verse 24, the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was waiting for them. And he called his relatives and his close friends. And Peter was, what is this guy? He's a Gentile. He's praying. He's seeking God. He has no legal right, but he's bypassing law. And he's getting a hold of God. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped. Peter said, stand up. I'm only a man. Verse 28. When he said to them, you know, it's unlawful for a Jew to keep company with you from another nation, but God showed me not to call you unclean. It's illegal. You're born again and it's illegal. So what was God, Paul writing about over in Romans 9? God will have mercy on anybody he wants to. Legal or not legal? Do you understand that the story of Esau and Jacob was the story of the Jews and the Gentiles? It was the story of the fact that the Gentiles got a hold of the things of God and the Jews rejected it? That's powerful, guys. That's not about how God just didn't like somebody. There's a reason he didn't like this guy. Verse 34, and Peter opened his mouth and says, the truth I perceive, God shows no partiality. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing good and healing a few people. All who were oppressed by God because God was doing it to train them. Let me stop right here and go over something. Wednesday night, if y'all didn't get Wednesday night's message, get it. Because it's time, I talked in here about how God does not use sickness and disease to teach you. Darkness cannot lead you to light. God does not use circumstances to train you. If so, why aren't the people in the hospital on fire for God? All of that's a bunch of junk. It's been preached in churches, and it's completely wrong. Who did God send to teach you? The Holy Ghost. When you get to heaven, is he still going to be popping people in the head so you can learn? Or are you just going to have time with the Holy Ghost? Well, that's how he's doing it now. That's why it's very important for you to get filled and stay full of the Holy Ghost, because he is the Spirit of truth, and you're not ever going to come out of darkness without the Spirit of truth on the inside of you. And all of this God is doing something to teach you is a bunch of junk. It's not true. You're submitting to the devil to become a better Christian. The devil is not God's whipping boy. If you don't want the devil around, drive him off. Amen. All right, that's enough of that. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, yes, who went around doing good and healing everybody oppressed by the devil. I wish people could figure that one out. For God was with him. All right. Verse 44. Peter was still speaking these words, and the Holy Ghost fell on all of the heathen Gentiles. Never been to church. Never tithed, non-Jews, no legal right, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. Because he'll have mercy on who he wants to have mercy. If he wants to save a Gentile, he'll save a Gentile if he wants to save a Gentile. Amen. Ooh, this is good. And those of the circumcision, Jews, who believed were astonished. A Gentile got saved. I can't believe God jumped over the Jews. Matthew 21. Are y'all ready? Jesus actually prophesied it. I'm fixing to say something good, so I'm going to wait for y'all to get in your Bibles and see this. Matthew 21, let's start with verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard, say Israel, and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers, say the Jews, who went and went into a far country. And when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dresser took the servant and beat one, Elijah, killed one, stoned another. And they sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them. They'll respect my son. And when the vine dresser saw his son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize the inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? He's fixing to prophesy something. And you're in this prophecy. They said to him, we will destroy these wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruit in their season. And Jesus said, have you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you, the Jewish nation, that are not bearing the fruits, and given to another nation who will bring me fruit. There's two nations on the earth today that have based their belief systems on the word of God. Israel and America. He's prophesying that he's going to raise up a nation who have no legal right to the covenant because they will hunger after God. They will grab a hold of this thing called grace, and they will take the gospel to the world. We are not Jews. But Paul said, you're more Jews than the Jews. And he called us children of God. So what's the real story of Esau, I hated, and Jacob, I have loved? What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that if he finds somebody, though not Jewish, who has a heart after God, he'll treat you like you were Jewish. He just got through prophesying the United States of America. I'm going to give this covenant to a nation. I'm going to raise up a whole nation. Because when Cornelius heard, he grabbed his family. He grabbed his kids. He grabbed his neighbors and said, there's a man of God coming. Let's hear what he has to say. Are y'all listening to this? He didn't get that in his own town. So the next time you go, Esau, have I hated, go, Yeah, we understand that. Now we know why God didn't like him. That's pretty good preaching for a young man. Matthew 23, turn over here. I'm going to prove this to you. 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I have wanted to gather your children as a hen gathers chicks, but you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, but I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the gospel left Israel and went to you. And you were grafted in. Go to Romans 11 and we will close. Say, this is good. This is how you got in. See, why would somebody want to take a statement like this? The older will serve the younger, and Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. Don't you know God just hates who he hates and he loves who he loves? Excuse me. That's just stupid. That's Dwayne Sheriff said that. I didn't. Stupid. Stupid. We have people made a major doctrine out of God just picks who he hates. Poor old Esau didn't do nothing wrong. God just hated him. Folks, it's time that when you read something, why don't you go back and find out what it was he's talking about? Now, before you go to 11, I'm going to read 30. Romans 9:30. What can I say then? That the Gentiles, say me, who did not pursue righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. You got in because of faith in Jesus, though you had no legal right. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they didn't seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They stumbled at the stumbling stone, which was Jesus. All right, chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fail? Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Say me. God is using you to make the Jews jealous. They're looking over at America and going, what? We're Jews, and God is blessing Gentiles, Americans? Greatest nation on the earth today. Not because we're smarter. In the war, the Japanese had a jet. We didn't have one. The Germans built a jet before we did. I want to say something to you. The Japs and the Germans are smarter than you. That's why you need to buy Toyotas. Don't get mad at me. America's not great because we're smarter. America's great because God made it great. Your faith in Jesus Christ brought the blessing on you. And the next time you want to skip church, go, I don't think so. All right, okay. Verse 12. If their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? They're going to come back in, guys. For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I'm magnifying my ministry to y'all. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them, and if they are cast away is the reconciling of the world, but will what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is holy, and the root is holy, and so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you were a wild olive tree, and you were grafted in among them with them, because being a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, remember, it's the olive tree holding you up. You're not holding you up. The next time you start bragging on yourself, remember, it's the root that feeds the branch. It is the covenant of God that's feeding you. So don't boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember, you don't support the root supports you. I just said that. You will then say, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Don't be haughty, but fear. If God didn't spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either, so don't get all uppity. So what is this story about? This story is about redemption. This story is about God having mercy on people who deserve no mercy. Say, he's talking about me. He's talking about you and I. Think about this. The Jews, from Abraham to Jesus, kept the law. What'd you do? Nothing. Not a thing. You didn't even go to church. You hadn't even been to church on Saturday unless you're a seven-day Adventist. And that isn't helping them. You didn't tithe. You ate pork chops. And yet you walked into a church one day, heard about Jesus, and instantly made the righteousness of God. Say, I'm Jacob. Yay. Isn't it amazing what the Bible says if you actually read the book? I guess I'm done, baby. Isn't God good? Is God a good God? He's a good God. Folks, he's good. The whole argument of Romans 9 is that God could have mercy on someone who didn't deserve it, even though they had no legal right to it. And I read one more scripture. I'm going to anyway. Say yes. Listen to this. I can get all fired up and I don't have enough. I got to change sermons next week or something, you know, and I'm going to never get to do this again. Look at Ephesians. No, don't go there. Just listen. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. You had no hope without God in the world. Now, don't you think about this? A Gentile growing up, knowing you're going to hell because you're a Gentile. There's nothing you can do about it. And God said, not so. Not so. Based on your heart, he'll save you. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and died on the cross and rose from the dead, God will save you from death, hell, and the grave, and take all condemnation off of you. That's right. We call this good news. And some of y'all are rascals. But your family... Y'all didn't like that very much. I know you were thinking. Some of y'all it had better be by grace. Tim, I'm not just talking to you. David, was I talking to you? Brother, you and I didn't deserve this. She didn't either. Grace, baby. Grace. I know there's people don't like you. And I know you're a double handful. But Jesus has accepted you.
Hallelujah.
How am I doing? Do I need to talk to you? We've been accepted in the beloved. We've been grafted into the vine. Bunch of heathen. Heathen Christians. Glory be to God. I got to read the rest of this and I'm going to give it to Lisa. But now in Christ, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Say, I'm Jacob. I got a right to the inheritance. All right, now I'm going to lay one more on you real heavy. Are y'all ready? Remember I told you that Esau was going to be the fourth biggest dog? Now Jacob is? He who is least in the kingdom, say me, is greater than any Old Testament prophet. Steve, that's a good deal here, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So the whole story is God. He said, Steve, I'm God. I'm just going to have mercy on you.
Hallelujah.
Whew, that's good. This is, I've done good. But then I found it. I wouldn't have known it if he hadn't showed me. So the next time somebody brings up Esau, you know about Esau, say, yeah, we know all about Esau. But do you know about Jacob? Father, you are so awesome. You are so awesome. I don't think that we really fathom this until we die and stand before you. I hope it hits us before then that you had mercy on a group of people that had no right to it. You had favor with someone that it wasn't even legal. And yet, Cornelius got it by faith in Jesus. The Syrophoenician woman got it by faith. And the centurion got it by faith. And we're sitting here today because of what Jesus did. And you had mercy on us. And now we're called the children of God. And though we were not a nation, now we are a nation. And that's what the story is about. Father, you're good to us. I've done everything in my power today to explain to my church, this church, you're a good God. You're a good God. You love us. You care about us. You watch over us. You have never judged us according to our sins. You laid them all on Jesus. And I pray, Father God, that just like Christian this week, if there's somebody sitting in this room right now that never knew this, didn't know they could walk into the throne room of God and be born again, even though we have no legal right to it. But this morning they would stand up and say, I want in. I want in this covenant. I'm not going to trade it. And Father, if there's someone in this room right now that has been going to the things of God, I pray they change today and realize that doesn't set too well with you to think so lightly of what you did. And Father God, I thank you for this service. I thank you for people's lives being changed. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this powerful message by Pastor Daryl Morgan. We hope it blesses you. If you would like more info on Word of Life, sermons, and free downloads, please go to wordoflifeapopka.com. Thank you and have a blessed day.